All right, let's talk about love today. We start a new series entitled The Nature of Real Church. The Nature of Real Church. We've talked about what the real church does. We've talked about how the real church is empowered. And now I want to go back to the DNA. What makes the church available to be empowered? What makes the church do what it does? And that's because of a nature. And that nature is listed very, very clearly in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. If you have your Bibles, open there. And I just want to continue to remind you, bring your Bibles. Bring your Bibles. Come armed so that you can open and read and learn along with that Bible in front of you. Read it with me, would you? Galatians 5, 22 to 23, the famous passage known as the passage on the fruit of the Spirit. Read with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's powerful, isn't it? That's the fruit of the Spirit. This verse is speaking about our nature, or rather, God's nature that He wants to put into us. Now, to understand these verses, we really need to go back and get a context with this. And so I want you to follow along. You don't have to read out loud, but follow along with me as I back up and read from verse 13 to verse 25 of that same chapter of Galatians 5. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred and discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, or faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Powerful statements. This chunk of scripture needs to be put into your mind and need to go back and read it regularly as we go through this summer series. We are free, the scripture said. We're free, but we're not free to do whatever we want. There are consequences to living free when we behave in ways that are either in tune with the sinful nature or in tune with the spiritual nature. You can still really do whatever you want. The consequences will just be different depending on what you do. You can drive as fast as you want. And when you see those red lights spinning in your rearview mirror and you pull over and the driver said, do you realize why I pulled, or the officer says, do you realize why I pulled you over? And you say, absolutely. I was driving as fast as I wanted to. I'm free. I'm not compelled to obey. I'm not under law anymore. And then the officer will hand you a ticket and say, let me teach you a little bit about freedom. There are consequences depending on what you do. Instead, it says, be free to love each other. Not free to do whatever you want, but be free to do what God wants you to do. Because on one end, doing what you want brings negative consequences. Doing what God wants also brings consequences, but those consequences are great. And that's what we have to kind of think when we're wrestling with, do I do the thing I shouldn't or do I do the thing I should? There will be consequences. There always is. The scripture said, if you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Does that sound familiar? Can you just overlay that in today's news? There's biting and devouring each other in today's world, and we will destroy each other. This kind of behavior does not advance civilization. It tears it down, it degrades, and it ruins. There truly are two natures fighting inside. Which one grows stronger and overtakes the other? Well, it's the one that you nurture the most. Someone said there's two dogs fighting inside. Which one wins? The one you feed the most. Do we feed the sinful nature or do we feed the spiritual nature? The sinful nature is easy. You already have it. You're born with it. You have no choice to be born with the sinful nature. That happened because of Adam's sin and it was imputed to humanity. You don't have to try to do any of the things that were listed, really. I don't have to try hard to get angry when I'm offended. I don't have to try hard to get jealous. I don't have to try hard to be judgmental. I don't have to try hard to put myself first. Those are all easy. That's just automatic for me. Some of you maybe look at that list and you can see yourself there. Maybe you're not sexually immoral, but what about hateful? Maybe not full of drunkenness, but what about jealousy and envy? You may have not attended an orgy anytime soon, but what about selfish ambition? You may not worship idols, but what about anger issues? See, we can all read that list and find something in there that points to us. And some of us could probably find multiple things. The problem with living like that, Paul wrote, is that in the end, you don't go to the kingdom of God. And that's a really, really nice way of saying you go to hell. And it's about time we stop tiptoeing around that issue because it's a reality. And folks, the world around us is going to hell. And we are the light to hopefully show people so that they don't go there. The greatest love that one would give up his life for his friends. And Jesus already did that. He's the rescuer. He's the savior. And if we don't talk about this, we're actually not loving the world. Because we're not protecting them from their end. Now the spiritual nature. This is not the nature you're born with. This is the nature you're born again with. And that's what we're after. We were born again to receive a different nature. And that when we live by that nature, then we get to see Jesus in all of his glory. This is what God is trying to transform us into. Now, we're not all there. None of us are all there. None of us look at that list of those nine elements of the fruit of the Spirit and say, I got this. I'm perfect in that. None of us. We're all on our journey. So nobody ought to feel discouraged about not being perfect yet. But we ought to be constantly on that process of growth and development. And being able to evaluate how that fruit is being developed in our life. And against these things, there truly is no law. There is no law against love or joy or peace. You can be as extravagant as you want to with these things. Love lavishly. Be good abundantly. Enjoy peace gluttonously. You won't get arrested for excessive joy. This is the God. This fruit is his nature. And you invite God into your life, you're inviting that nature inside. And that's why when you live in contrary to that nature, you feel that inside, don't you? You know immediately that wasn't right. That I know that wasn't right. And your heart gets all conflicted. That's because you got those two dogs fighting inside. The sinful nature that we're still stuck in, but yet Jesus Christ, who's putting a new nature in us, and he's revived us, and he's working in us to sanctify us, and those things are wrestling constantly. And it's our job to obey so that the right nature wins out. When the Spirit is in you, his Spirit is looking to transform you. God is not asking us to do these things. He saved us to become these things. That's crucial for us to understand. Now, in order to become these things, at first we have to do them. So let's get the cart before the horse, or the cart after the horse, and learn how to follow correctly. the nature of love. I love my kids. I love my grandkids. I love my wife. I love sports. I love a good bone-in ribeye steak. I love a lazy evening with a good movie. I love a summer evening eating out with friends. I love good music. I was on an Africa trip once with one of our team members, and there aren't the good restroom facilities that we have, but they have us a hole in the ground. And I remember one of our team members said, "I love my toilet. I'm going to give it a big hug when I get home." If you've ever been to Africa and experienced that, you might relate. Obviously, there's different ways of expressing love. Let me read to you, again, a longer portion of Scripture, but I think it's important to set the tone. 1 John chapter 4, I want to read verse 4 to 27, or 7 to 21, rather. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on that day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For if anyone does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother." We need that verse today. I'll be honest, when I see the news and I look at, especially in these last 2 days, just the real viciousness. And I won't say it's demonic, but it's demonic. And I got it, my flesh doesn't feel love for those people. It doesn't. And I hear God with his voice in my spirit say, "But I do. But I do." And it convicts me every time when I get just, ugh. I know you've been there. When you just, the frustration and the resistance to that which is counter to what holiness and purity is and what real love is. And the world tries to bring the opposite of that. And even to children and all that. It's just like, oh, God, how can you love them? And then God reminds me of some of my own sinful nature stuff. And I'm quick to shut my mouth. Because if God doesn't forgive them, how can he forgive me? And if God is going to love me, then he has to love them too. Let's focus on God for the next couple minutes. Because if we're going to figure out how to love, we have to see what perfect love looks like. Because that's the goal. Perfect love is what we're shooting for. We're not there, but that's what we want. And that's who God is. God is love. Number one, this love is not your love that the fruit of the Spirit says, it's God's love. We're not to conjure up our love and, "Well, I'm not very loving." Well, that's okay, because it's not your love we're talking about. It's God's love that is placed in us and transforms us. Verse 7 of John that I just read, God is love. He doesn't do love as if he has to work hard at it. He doesn't do love as if he looks at us and rolls his eyes and goes, "Oh, you again. You're just a mess up. Okay, I'll try." No, he is love. He can't not love. If God in one millisecond stopped loving, he'd stop being God. Because that's his definition. The reason we have love today is because of God. Because he created everything. He breathed into our bodies. And the only reason we can love each other, even those who don't know him, is because God's breath is still in those people. God's love is still in our midst. That's why we have love at all. You can't do anything to make God stop loving you because there's nothing you did to make him start loving you. He's always loved you. Even when he thought about you when you were in the womb, he loved you. And those that would defy him, those that would reject him, he still delights in them. As hard as it is for us to understand. When my children didn't obey properly, did I like what they did? No. Did I still delight in them? You betcha. They're my kids. That's what good parents do. They delight in them. So they'll even make the hard choices in order to bring them out of that foolishness. And hopefully they'll grow up to be good, God-fearing adults. Praise God for the ministries here at our church that is producing such young people. God delights in us. He has feelings for us. Do I always feel those feelings for others? No. But you know what? I want to. Because trying to love someone without those feelings is hard work. It's so much easier to love my wife or my kids or my grandkids because I have feelings for them. I say, God, help me to love people like you do. Help me to delight in people like you do. But what about all the things I've done, Pastor? Yeah, you've done some doozies. So have I. Can I just tell you right now, because of his love, he's not ashamed of you. He doesn't regret you. The moment you said, Jesus, I accept you, your past and everything you would do in the future was wiped away, separated from you as far as the east is from the west. Because God is love. God loved us first, therefore we love others. The really cool thing about love is that it has an object. Love just can't be solitary. You can't just sit and hold it and all just love, 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 love. You're by yourself. Love has to be expressed. Galatians says in the beginning of this chapter that we read in chapter 5, it's the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. Love must be expressed. And you can't say you love someone, but never show them, help them, serve them. Give to them. That's what love does. God loved us first. That's what real love is. Let me read you some scriptures out of the Old Testament about God's love. He brought me into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Psalm 18:19. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. You realize God rejoices over you with singing? When he thinks of your name, he gets all fired up. He dances and rejoices over your name. Psalm 149:4 says, for the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. He created you. You're not random. If God created you, he created you just the way he wanted you. And God never, ever, ever makes a mistake. And when he made you, he went, oh, masterpiece. I did good with that one. Angels, look at this one. Look at this one. Look at the one I made. And they go, ooh, wow. Good job, God. And that was you. He loves you. Like the prodigal son, the father ran to his son. Was the son a perfect son? No. That son was a selfish young guy. And when the father saw him, he ran to him. That's the love of the father for you. Number three, you can't say you love God and hate another at the same time. Because God doesn't hate anybody. He hates sin. He hates behavior because that's what destroys the people he loves. I have to really work at this one. I have a tendency toward being vengeful. I have a tendency toward being judgmental. I have a tendency toward being just angry when people don't do what I think they should do. I say, God, help me. Help me not to have fleshly feelings. Instead, help me have your feeling. Help me have your heart. Help me have your actions. Help me have your... Because sometimes I can forecast what I feel about others and that righteous, what I think is righteous anger, and I can feel God feels that way toward me. If somebody else does something wrong, I get mad at him. I feel like then if I do something wrong, God gets mad at me. And God says, no, hold on. I don't respond to you the way you respond. You respond wrong. You don't respond right. So don't put that on me. That's your problem. God doesn't respond to us the way we respond to others. He responds perfectly, and he doesn't hate sometimes the way we hate, or get angry the way we get angry, and get vengeful the way we get angry. God loves every Republican. God loves every Democrat. God loves every Supreme Court justice. God loves every protester right now. And he loves them all with delight, even though he may not love everything that's being done. Number four, love is defined by action. Love does. We did that a few years ago. That came out of that verse of Galatians 5 I just read before. And sometimes when we don't feel the feelings, and I don't always feel the feelings, it doesn't mean that we stop doing. You don't sit around waiting for the feeling to come and then start to act. We act out of obedience because that's what God commanded us to do. And love requires action. Folks, if you wait till you feel, you'll wait forever. Or you'll just love and serve the people that are in your little tight circle. You'll never branch out. Aren't you thankful that God didn't wait to feel? Well, God had the feeling, but you know what I'm trying to say. He came. And even Jesus had that moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, trapped in his humanity, when he said, God, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like going to the cross. Can you do something about this? And God said, nope. And he said, then your will be done. Love overcomes those things. And love does because it's defined by action. Well, I know our time is getting away. Let me just give you four quick ways that we can practice love today. These will build us toward that perfect love that God has for us. Number one, be obedient. Love obeys. Love obeys. Obey when you don't feel. Obey when you don't want to. Obey when it's just there's another thing that is more convenient. Obedience will lead you to the proper place of love. Here's what John 15, 9 to 12 says. Jesus is speaking. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. You want complete joy? Start with obedience. You want to lose your joy? Just practice disobedience. It's just that simple. And Jesus said, I'm modeling for you. I do this too. I obey the Father and do whatever he tells me. Now, do what I've told you because it works. Watch your life be transformed. Watch the joy begin to grow and that fruit begin to grow in your life as you take the first step of obedience. Do some self-evaluation right now and begin to just maybe put a little marker on the places in your life where you know that there's some disobedience present. Begin to tackle those areas. Begin to write them. And then watch how the joy will begin to return. Because disobedience is what robs that. Love obeys. When you obey, you will remain in his love. Obey. Number two, love gives. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Love gives. God loved, he gave. John 15, 13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. We're not talking about make a donation or, you know, as for Salvation Army at Christmas time or you know, do a little favor. This is life-giving love. This is like to the end sacrifice. I will give my life. Now, are we demanded that? I've never been confronted with that. You know, lose your life for someone else. But I'd like to think that I would be willing. And I want to grow in that because Jesus actually did it. Sometimes it's easy to do the big things and not so much the little things. Jesus gave his life because he loves. Jesus didn't pick and choose who he would love. He is love. And because of that, he gave to us. The cross, as we sang today, he's calling us to the cross. Why is he calling us to the cross? Because he went to the cross. And the cross is where our selfishness dies, and it's where our love grows. Number three, love serves. John 13:1, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Some of you know what he did next in John 13. The full extent of his love was that he took off his outer garment, he wrapped a towel around his waist, and he knelt before those disciples and he washed their feet. Now, a verse that I didn't read ties directly into what Ethan was preaching earlier in that confidence level. It says, knowing who he was, knowing where he came from, and knowing where he was going. He was completely secure in who he was. Therefore, he could serve. There was no lack of confidence. There was no insecurity. He knew who he was. And you know who you are. You are a child of God. You have been born of God. And when this life is over, you're going to heaven. There's no confusion about that. So therefore, we can serve. Because we're already secure in what we're doing. We don't have to worry about somebody else's opinion. We got God's opinion. We don't have to worry about our future. We know where our future is. We don't have to worry about our status. We know where our status is. We're children of the King. He knew who he was, he knew where he was going, he knew where he had come from. Therefore, he could show them the full extent. You have a hard time serving? Then maybe we need to learn the full extent of love. Because love serves. Jesus served with his life. And he's calling us to serve as well. And finally, love disciplines. Hebrews 12:6 says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. God practices tough love. Love does not mean I agree with everything you say. And in the world today, that's really hard to get around. Because today, it's you love me if you agree with everything, and you hate me if you don't agree. And that's just not true. That's false. I can love you and disagree with you. How many married couples do we have today? Are you still in love with your spouse? Do you agree with everything they say? Okay, you see how this doesn't work. But yet in the world today, that's what they're trying to hammer into us. If you don't agree with me, you hate me. And it's false. And we've got to be able to stand our ground in truth and yet love at the same time. Today more than ever. It's not our job to be the judge. It's our job to be the lover. It's not our judge to condemn. It's our judge to give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. It's not our judge to label. It's our judge to reach out. But stand firm in our truth. Because that's what tough love does. It was difficult sometimes raising children. I'm so glad that's done. I hated those conversations. To look into the eye of my child and say, you're not doing this anymore. Or this needs to change. And know that there was going to be pushback. I didn't want pushback. I wanted cuddles. I wanted closeness. I wanted connection. But you gotta do what you gotta do. Because if you sacrifice the growth for the moment, you lose the person. I'm so glad that both Sandra and I, we were diligent about loving our kids when it wasn't fun. And loving them and loving others when it's not fun. Because the results are worth it. Jesus went to the cross, and Hebrews says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The cross was not fun. But there was something that was beyond that. And it was a joy of salvation. When we love people, and it's tough to love them. And sometimes we have to say tough things with the Holy Spirit guiding our timing. and with gentleness and respect, we speak the truth. And then we let God, in His wisdom and His power, create something beautiful through that. Love is not for cowards. Love is for those who will trust God. The entire law can be summed up in this command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. This is the whole law. The other eight components are just love in action. And we're going to get to that the rest of this summer. But on this Sunday, church, we have got to ask God to fill us with the fruit of the Spirit of love. None of us is perfect at it. But we need it because love never fails. It never does. Let me ask a couple questions as I finish. Do you love God? Yet, is there someone that you cannot love? God says, how can you love me if there's that you can't see, if you can't love someone you can see? That ought to be your focus of prayer. God, help me. Because I do love you, but that person. Do you love God? Yet, is there someone in your life who you refuse to serve? Love serves. That's the full extent of His love. Wrapping the towel around the waist and washing feet. You struggle with service? You struggle with kind of feeling maybe, you know, feeling lower? Humbling yourself is tough. Real love serves. Do you love God? Yet is there someone in your life you can't forgive? I'm so thankful that Jesus hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. As they screamed, crucify Him. In today's world, there's lots of people screaming things that are ugly. But we have got to be a church that still says, Father, help me to love them. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank You for this message. I thank You for this whole day. It's been such a beautiful time of worship. Such an inspiring time. We've been fed from Your pulpit twice. And God, this is one of those messages that as I preach it, I need it. And I pray that we would all be honest together. That we really do love You, Lord. But sometimes our actions betray that. Help us. We need Your help. We need the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. We need Your love to grow in us and our fleshly nature, our sinful nature, to decrease. And You increase. Lord, as there may be those that are feeling the touch of something very specific in their lives, Lord, I pray that You'd minister to them right now. And if you're feeling that today, confess that. Jesus' running to you to help is as near as your confession. Lord, we don't know what the days to come have in store for us. My assumption is that our love will be tested. And God, if we're going to be the distinct, salty, bright light church, we're going to need to know how to respond in love that is so different. That is so clearly not of this world. Help us, Lord. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, before we go into a time of prayer, I just want to ask for your own confession's sake, as I'm speaking today, and something struck a chord with you. I don't even really know what to ask exactly, but something, the Holy Spirit touched you and said, I need to deal with you on this in regard to love or giving or service or tough love or with things. Just, I think the Holy Spirit's just talking, and I think he's talking to so many people in so many different ways. So I don't want to pigeonhole. So if God is just touching something by his Spirit in your heart, you just lift a hand up and put it back down. Just acknowledge that. Yeah, all over. Okay, I felt that too. There's so many hands. And let's take these to the Lord, shall we? As we pray together, as the elders, some of them come and stand in the front. Do some business with God. Those of you that raised your hands, don't be quick to leave. Let's start the process of allowing him to take over that. Many times it might be difficult to kind of get away from distractions where you're sitting. So if you'd like to come to a front row or where the steps are, that's sometimes a little easier. But as Pastor Sean plays some worship music, and the elders will come and prepare to pray for you, let's ask God to touch that. Or let's ask him to begin to help us to deal with that which he's already touched. Okay? Father, we thank you for your touch today. And now we want to continue to worship and continue to call on your name to do the work only you can do. Let's linger and pray together. If you've got to go for whatever reason, you can consider yourself dismissed. But we do invite you to come and to press in deeper. All right? God bless you if you have to go. Let's linger otherwise. I didn't get an oil.
You're calling us to the cross. 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 The same love that set the captive free. The same love that opened eyes to see is called hold by name. You are called all by same God, the heavens wide. The same God that was crucified is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. You're calling us to the cross. You're calling us to the cross. You're calling. Darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide, and I am not a captive to the lies. And I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. No, I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. No, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out the grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. You're calling us to you. Thank you. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. But still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, it leaves the 99. But I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. Why couldn't earn it? I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Oh, hallelujah. God, I pray we would go from this place with that foundation in our minds. Because we're going to walk out of this building and we're going to get in our car. And life continues to move on. What the Silicon Valley doesn't know, in most cases, that you are calling. You are calling, Lord, their names. And you've asked us, Lord, to be your mouthpiece. And I pray, Father, that we go from this day declaring your love to those around us. I pray, Father, through your Holy Spirit, that we would be filled with your love, with your patience, with your grace, with your mercy. And every day we would continue to seek you. And start over. Fill ourselves up with your Spirit. Then go out. Spend time in your Word. Fill ourselves up and go out. I pray that we would be a witness to what you've done in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, may you be glorified. Amen.